And finally today, we're going to hear a provocative perspective on the exploding opiate addiction crisis in Massachusetts. More than 60 people have overdosed in Taunton since December. 5 of them died. And in Revere, 15 overdose calls in the past week alone. Opiate addiction is a heartbreaking, complex, and complicated crisis. There is no one cause and no one solution. However, our next guest writes in today's Boston Globe that any effort to curb the crisis must include a change far, far upstream from those tragic overdoses. He says doctors and hospitals have to rethink how, when, and what they prescribe when they write those very first prescriptions for potentially addictive painkillers that so often precede full-blown opiate addiction. Dr. Haider Varaich is a resident and in internal medicine at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. His op-ed in The Globe is headlined Drug of Destruction. He joins us now in the studio. Dr. Varaich, welcome to the program.
Magna, thank you for having me.
I first of all wonder if you might share with us a story about an experience that you've had in your practice of patients coming to you, for example, and when that moment where you've had to decide whether or not to write a prescription for a painkiller.
I think that this is a common scenario for a lot of physicians. And to be perfectly honest with you, I wish that physicians never had to make that decision, that physicians' role should just be to assess patients, assess their pain, and treat them accordingly. But when you're dealing with medications such as opiates, then, of course, in the back of your mind, you're always thinking about what the downstream effects of something like this might be. As physicians, we generally use a pain scale. We ask patients from 1 to 10, what is your pain level right now, 10 being the most severe pain you've ever experienced. But studies have shown, one of which that I quoted in my piece as well, is that if you follow that scale by the letter, you end up actually over-prescribing medications, and the adverse events from just using that scale are actually much higher than if you don't use it.
Yeah, and why is that? Because I think that pain scale is probably familiar to many people who've been to the doctor's office or the emergency room.
I think it goes back to just how subjective the sensation of pain is. And a lot of times you take medications, and these medications have an inherent tolerance. So as you take them, you can tolerate higher and higher doses. So maybe as you give more pain medications, you need a higher dose to achieve a certain pain level.
Hmm. Now, you also write in your op-ed that 39%, roughly, almost 40% of most opiates that are prescribed are done so in emergency rooms. And I imagine that those are moments where, I mean, someone's in the emergency room, so they're there for an acute reason, injury or illness, and they are likely in a lot of pain. What other ways are there to manage those moments as a physician?
I think that really highlights a few different things. First of all, that maybe it highlights just how big an access issue that medicine has, that most people who have these symptoms end up having to go to emergency rooms to receive care. But I definitely agree that that is really one of the most challenging moments in which you have a lot of critical decisions to make about patient triage, and you really want to do an intervention that you'll see an effect of, and you have a limited time to see that effect. So it's not surprising that a lot of patients end up getting opiate medications in emergency rooms. But it is something very, very challenging, and I don't have very great answers of what alternatives in those settings might be.
Mm. Now, as we said a little earlier, and as you just mentioned, there's no one solution here, but you're bringing to us this perspective from the doctor's point of view when you do write those prescriptions, and you sort of put forth a couple interesting ideas in your op-ed. First of all, that doctors need more protection from administrators and regulators to avoid prescribing potentially harmful drugs. What do you mean by that?
So again, as I mentioned in the piece, there is this, again, I have never experienced any such pressure, but if you actually read, and there is this interesting case from the VA where VA physicians actually testified in front of the House that they felt that they were being pressurized by administrators to prescribe more powerful pain medications. And this also goes with another trend that's getting more entrenched in modern medicine, which is the role of patient satisfaction. A lot of patient satisfaction scores use pain as a parameter. Was your pain adequately addressed, et cetera, et cetera? And I think that the emphasis on patient satisfaction alone, even though it's a great parameter, but it may lead people to erroneously provide more aggressive pain medication in an effort to improve their patient satisfaction scores.
Well, on that note, you also write, I think this is the line that most caught my attention today in your op-ed, that patients need to think long and hard about just how aggressively they want to treat their pain and whether they would want to be prescribed opiates.
I think that that is really, to me, when I was thinking about this, and again, we always talk about how difficult a problem this is. I think that that is where this problem might be. I don't think that physicians should be in the business of deciding whether a patient is, you know, seeking drugs, whether I should give him opiates. A lot of times the patients need to be involved in this decision-making process. I've had a lot of patients who've told me very bluntly that they don't want opiate medications. And I respect that. But I think it's one of those things that we need to address on a larger level. If you look at other developing countries which have similar healthcare outcomes, you will notice that the per capita opiate usage is much lower. In fact, the United States accounts for 4.5% of the world's population, but consumes 80% of the world's opiate supply, which is a huge disparity to me.
Is that legal opiates or not legal and non-legal?
All opiates. Okay. All opiates. So to me, that sounds like a very, there is a disparity here. And I think we need to look at other developing countries and see, is there anything that they're doing that we can do in which we can find alternatives to treat pain in our patients without having to resort to opiates?
Mm. Well, it's an interesting perspective. And I do want to ask, we have like 30 seconds left. I'm going to squeeze this last question in because I wonder, maybe we should counsel doctors, or should we counsel doctors, to sit in front of a patient when they're about to write that script and say, I want to tell you or to remind you that what I'm about to hand you is potentially addictive.
In my practice, most physicians will do that. Most physicians I've seen are always afraid of that because they have seen so many of the downstream consequences of opiates. So I think that is a practice that's already there, but this conversation needs to be a two-way conversation, which the patient is also more involved.
Well, Dr. Haider Varaich is a resident in internal medicine at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. His op-ed in today's Boston Globe is entitled Drug of Destruction. Dr. Varaich, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you again.
And Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Carrie Goldberg.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.